Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you, brothers and sisters, and whoever you are, I welcome you to this, and thank you for listening and joining in with us today. We're going to be getting back into our study of the letter W today, and that is for witnessing, and witnessing about what? Well, witnessing about the gospel, about the good news, only good news on this earth and in our lives, and that mankind and humanity has been looking for and still searching for, by the way, trying to find out how to stay alive, And that's what everybody's searching for, is how to stay alive. they might be doing it through various sorts of things and ideas and all sorts of business, you know. But the bottom line is everybody that's on Earth, I think it's around 8 billion now. Not really sure about that, but they're trying to find ways to stay alive. Some try to use money. Some try to use strength and make your body strong, and some try to use health, and some are vegans, and I guess that's how you say it, vegans, all that kind of business. But the bottom line is the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can give life. The Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's no other way to get to the Lord or get to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're born again, you agree with that because that's what the Bible says, and you have a personal testimony about it. If you've been born again, you know that you've been born again because something happened to you. Now, being born again is not a put-on theatrical thing in everybody's life. Some people had a, I guess you want to say, I don't like using the word experience because that's been beat to death and sounds kind of fakey, but it is an experience. It's something that that happens in your life that's real. And unless you've been born again, you don't know what it's taught. You don't know what in the world I'm talking about. But if you have been born again, you do. There's been a change. There's been a change in your life. Now, you can't legislate Christianity. You can't say this is the way it is. And I mean, there are some doctrinal things, a lot of doctrinal things in the scriptures. And that's why we're doing these studies, is to do the ABCs of the Christian growth and kind of lead us into the doctrines of what the Bible, the truths, the what is and what ain'ts in the Bible, the truths, witnessing. Now, remember last study, when we started this study, in the first recording, I'll get my uhs going here in a minute, but we talked about what does witnessing mean. Well, witnessing is just it's like a courtroom trial. It's just telling what you know, telling the facts. It's telling the truth. If you have anything to do with what's being spoken about or any kind of knowledge about what's being said, then you're a witness. The Bible talks about a lot of things. When Jesus was preaching and Jesus done his miracles and Jesus resurrected and the Lord was killed and crucified and he was buried, the Bible over and over and over and over and over, God's word says, and there were witness. I witnessed this. We beheld him. We touched him with our. He said one of the apostles said that we handled him. He handled him. He touched him. He touched God. God the Son, in the flesh, he touched him. But they all, in some roundabout way, said that they witnessed these things. Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about, I actually seen it with my eyes. I actually touched it with my hands. I actually heard him speak it with my own ears. We are witnesses. I'm a witness. I'm standing up and I'm telling you that this is the truth because I'm telling you it's the truth because I witnessed it. The law of, how you say it, jurisprudence says that if anything comes to court and there be two witnesses that will verbally say it and then put it in writing, then it becomes truth. It becomes a witness. Two people that will speak what they witnessed and will put it in writing, and they are the same. Like, for instance, I seen him kill him. I seen another person says, I seen him beat him over the head with a hammer until he died, which is kind of crude, but anyway, not crude nowadays, is it? That's common. That's comic book kind of language nowadays. All you stupid games out there for all these children wondering how come they're doing all this. Yeah. But witnessing, it's just simply telling what you know. And we're on one specific type of witnessing, and that is being born again. Is any soul winning? Talking about witnessing. I mean, what else more important could be a witness about? Could you be a witness about? Now, if you've been born again, you have a witness. You have a testimony. And I'll go ahead and tell you this. The very best kind of tract that you can put out, you ought to sit down. Now, at the end of this study, I have it in written form. And that's what I'm teaching off of right now. And by the way, if you want a copy of this and you want it written down exactly as we go through it, and it's all there, it's fill in the blank and everything else, it's a written study that goes along with this audio study, you're welcome to it. And I'd be happy and delighted to send it to you. Just email me at Barnhouse Ministries, barnhouseministries@gmail.com. Okay? And I'll send it to you. And we'll get it there where you can set it right down in front of you. And if you want to listen to these along with it, that'll even double up your learning. But anyway, witnessing. Now, remember the man in the first recording that we did? The Lord healed him. The Lord, he was blind from birth. His mom and daddy said he was. And he said that Jesus Christ healed his eyes. And them Pharisees went crazy about that. They hated Jesus, and they wanted to destroy him and murder him. And they envied him and despised him because he was God. And another thing is because them Jews were getting ready to deny the kingdom that the Lord was bringing to them. The Lord was coming in there to bring in the kingdom. If they would have accepted him, the Lord would have started the kingdom right then. The kingdom of heaven, a physical, literal place that you could touch, and Jesus would be on the throne, like the Bible promises. But because they denied him, then the Lord postponed that and put it on hold and put the Jews aside. And they've been aside for 2,000 years now or so. And we went into the age of grace where the Lord started preaching to the Gentiles, and that's us. And that's what we're talking about right now, is witnessing what the Lord did. And that it's available for everybody. And boy, aren't we glad we got in. Yes, we are. But the man said that the Lord healed him. And they asked him and pressured him and tried to get him to say something different. And he said, look. And he finally just come down and said, look, I don't care what you say. You done asked me this 100 times. What are you going to do, go believe in him? And then they got mad at him because they thought he was witnessing to them and questioning their doctorate degree and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not against doctorate degrees as long as they give glory to God and not glory to the doctor. Okay? But he said, one thing he said, I don't know a whole bunch about nothing. He said, but one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, I know the facts, and I'm witnessing about what happened to me. You say what you want to say. I'm telling you it happened. Look at my eyes. You know, and that's in John 9:25, you remember? And then we talked about the woman at the well that the Lord met. And she was there, and she started having a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord told her that she could drink of some water that would give her life, and she asked for it. And he told her, go get your husband. And she said, well, I ain't got no husband. He said, you said the truth right there. He said, because you've had five men, and the one that you're living with now ain't your husband. She said, sir, I believe you're a prophet. He was more than a prophet, wasn't he? Yes, sir, he was. But anyway, when he told her that, she said, Lord, give me that water. Give me that water. And then she left and got so excited about it that she forgot everything, left her water jug there, or bucket, or whatever it was she was carrying, went back to the city and got all the fellas, the men there, and told them, come see a man that told me everything I ever done. Is not this the Messiah? And she believed. So she witnessed. The first thing she done was went and witnessed. Now, there's a lot of people that try to put witnessing and I don't really know how to put it, but there's nothing wrong with learning a process of witnessing. You have to. You kind of got to, you go along with somebody else and you watch them. Now, I'm talking about soul winning, but witnessing is, there's nothing to it except that you rebuke the devil and tell him, leave you alone, because you're not ashamed of the Lord, because he's going to fight you about that. He's not going to let you witness for free. But if you're not ashamed of it, I mean, you're not ashamed to tell somebody about your children, are you? You're not ashamed to tell somebody about your mother and father, are you? You're not ashamed to tell them about your husband or your wife. Why are you ashamed to tell them about Jesus? Well, there's a whole lot of reasons the devil tries to shame us. And he tries to make us ashamed of Jesus. But we're not. We're not ashamed of him. And but the enemy's going to fight you about that. He's going to fight you. I mean, he's going to try to get you to zip your lip about the Lord. And he knows who's saved and who's not saved. Now, being a witness is not hard. Matter of fact, I was going to say that a while ago. I recommend that every one of you sit down and like I said a while ago, or was going to say, and went off on something else, at the end of these studies, there's a sheet at the end of these studies for you to personally sit down. Think about how you got saved. Think about how it come about. Think about what you went through when it was going on, and what it went through, what happened after it's over with, and the changes that it made in your life right then, and how you know there was a difference and a change, and how long it's been since then, and the changes and the history that you know about that the Lord's been in your life and never left you. If you're saved, you can say all that. Now, it ain't going to be the same as somebody else's, and maybe not as sparklers and fireworks and all that kind of stuff, but nevertheless, miraculous and beautiful. You ought to write all that down and write it from beginning to end, and then make you a gospel track about it. My testimony. And put it in a track size. And put it all in there, and then sign it at the end and say, this is my testimony that Jesus Christ is real, and that I'm saved and born again, and this is all truth. And then put the gospel of Jesus Christ, the road to salvation, on that track, and then print them and go pass them out. That's the best track you can put together. I got one myself, how I got saved. It ain't got to be nothing. Some smart person that knows how to do all that stuff, literature and all, writing and all that kind of stuff, just write it in your own words. That's what makes it the best witness. But anyway, just a thought about witnessing. That's one thing that you can do. You say, well, I'm in a wheelchair. Well, I remember a pastor telling us about a woman that was in a wheelchair and was there, and she got her a phone book, and she started finding out addresses of people that she didn't know, and she would mail, I don't know how many, but let's just say 10 tracts a week in envelopes to addresses that she'd never done before. She started getting letters about people getting saved, about people getting her tract and getting saved. You can witness for the Lord. You can. You can. And you should. But as far as legislating witnessing and telling you, you must and you must and you must. And we don't do it because we have to. You do it because you want to. Because I'm going to heaven, folks. And the Lord's promised me that. I've got it in writing. And so do you. All these deceived people in this world that are walking around in darkness are not going to heaven. You know where they're going? They're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. And then they're going to be taken out of hell, and they're going to be judged, and not judged on whether they're right and wrong. They're already wrong. They're already condemned. They're going to be judged on the degree of punishment and then cast into the lake of fire forever. Now, that's truth, and that's real. I've never seen heaven, and I've never seen hell. But I have been born again, and the God that talks about heaven and hell saved me, and I'm a witness to that. So if he saved me is true, heaven and hell is true, folks. Are witnessing and soul winning the same thing? Well, what's the Bible say? The Bible says that, now you're often going to hear two words used, and they are Bible words. They're both used in the Word of God. They're called witnessing and called soul winning. They're both referred to in God's Word. Witnessing, you could just say that witnessing is testifying of your own personal experience of salvation. The Lord says, be ready always to give an answer to somebody that wants to ask about the hope that's in you. What is it about you? How come you say you're going to heaven? And you can just sit down there and say, this is how come I know I'm going to heaven. And just lay it out there and not even try to win them to the Lord. It's God's word that wins them to the Lord. But your testimony leads them to the Lord because they see the witness. They see that somebody is saying that Jesus Christ is real. And he is, isn't he? Soul winning. Well, what's soul winning? Soul winning is witnessing. It's using your witness the very best thing that you can tell somebody, even when you're trying to win their soul, the very best thing that you can tell them is what personally happened to you. Because they ain't but one or two things they can do about that. Either call you a liar, or either say, well, now, ain't that something? And then say, well, I'll think about it or whatever. But your witness is the most powerful thing that you can soul win with. Telling somebody what happened to you. Because you won't get all tongue twisted and everything else and all that stuff. I mean, of course, we're talking about using God's word. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, the word of God was involved in you being born again. God the Holy Ghost drew you with God's words, and you were born again. But we're talking about human to human. God's word is what does it spiritually and does it miraculously. And has the power to change and has the power to birth them into God's family. We don't, but we have a witness that God the Holy Ghost can use, that we can give words out about something that personally happened to us, that God is real, and this is real, and God's word is real, and everything that, there's so much deceit and so much lying going on in the world now, nobody knows what to believe. So if they see somebody, a human being, that they can kind of sort themselves out with, that he's human and I'm human, okay, well, it happened to him. And then they hear what the Word of God says, it's easier for them to believe, you see. But soul winning is an attempt to move the hearer to act upon God's Word. It's not just witnessing, but you're trying to get that soul and reel him in. were fishers of men, the Bible says. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. He was talking to the apostles, of course, but that was before the church started, but it was right at the time when Jesus was changing everything over from the law to the church and the age of grace. And he said, I'll make you fishers of men. And that's what witnessing and soul winning is fishing for men. Going to get them and bring them into the body of Christ. Win their souls so they have God's promise along like you do that you're going to heaven. And they don't have to worry about being condemned and God pointing his finger in your face anymore. The Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There ain't never going to be a time if you're born again that God's going to point his finger in your face and say, you stinking, dirty, rotten sinner. Why didn't you accept my son? You did accept his son. So God is pleased with you now. And you are no more a sinner in God's eyes, even though you do sin. That's another thing about a truth, is that you're not a sinner no more scripturally, doctrinally. You are a saint that sins. Big difference. You're a son of God. You're in the family of God, and God is literally your heavenly Father. He's not your enemy anymore. It's already been through God's courtroom. It's finished. It's over with. And come out the other side, and you are free because of what Jesus did. Isn't that beautiful? But soul winning is a little different. Not a little different. Just say a little bit more aggressive, if you will. Witnessing is telling somebody about what happened to you. Soul winning is going a step further and trying to attempt to move who's listening to your witness to act upon God's word. You start telling them about God's word and telling them about what you heard and how you believe it and why you believed it and that these changes come about and that God the Holy Ghost dwells in you and that this thing is real. And then you tell them about God's word and what he promises them if they'll believe and they'll call upon his name. And you're moving into soul winning. You see how these two are twined together? But to just be a witness, living like the Lord says and like God's word says and being serious and sincere with the Lord, your life will witness anyway. You're a light in a dark place. And when you walk by or you speak or you say something or you behave or you react to something in this life while you're in the body, people notice that and it's like a light and they look and it makes them wonder and it draws them. The Holy Ghost uses that to draw them. Yeah. So you see, are witnessing and soul winning the same thing? Well, not exactly, and yes. They complement each other because it's all truth. It's using the Word of God and your witness on purpose to bring others to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Somebody had a part in winning you. I remember the fellow that asked me and invited me to come to church. I never met him before in my life, and when after that church service, I never seen him again. His name was Tim, and he was an Indian, not from India, but a woo-woo Indian. Now you can't separate witnessing the soul winning. Let's just get in some scripture here. John chapter 15 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." God didn't save you and adopt you into his family for you to sit down here and twiddle your thumbs. God wants you to be busy bearing some kind of fruit. He wants you to bear spiritual fruit. He wants your life to bear spiritual fruit. He wants some fruit to come out of it. Whether it be somebody else's soul being won, or either you plant a seed in somebody and give them one of your tracts with your witness on it. I mean, spiritual things in people's lives do not go away It's light. Remember, they're children of darkness like we were. They don't know God. And they're blinded from Him. And when you witness, that's the light of God. That's God the Holy Ghost witnessing to them. That's light for them to be able to see a little bit of God and how to get to Him. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's God's will. That's Jesus talking. He said that every time you bear fruit, it glorifies your Father in heaven. It glorifies Jesus' Father. And He's our Father also, if you're born again. That you bear much fruit. And it says, so shall ye be my disciples. That you bear much fruit. So, just reading through the verse, what did the Lord say? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye what? That ye bear much fruit. The Lord's will is for us to be busy about God's business, not just down here doing nothing. Now, the Lord does not expect you to do what everybody else does. The Lord has given you a gift when you were born again and you were birthed into the family of God. One of the things that happened to you is that God gave you some kind of gift that you alone can do for the Lord and bear fruit, and bear much fruit. And you need to be praying about what that is and find out what it is. Some of you might already know. It could be anything. The body of Christ, just like Paul tells us, the body of Christ is made up of many members. Everybody don't do the same thing. And when God calls you and gives you a gift and you find out what it is, the Lord even tells us to stay in your own calling. Don't try to do everybody else's business. Stay in your own measure, the Bible says. Not to get out of your measure, but to do your calling, your gift. If it's being the best wife and the best mother that you can be, that is a witness. You wouldn't believe how much that is. That would be a witness nowadays with all this craziness with these women running around and saying they're this and saying they're that and doing they're this and doing they're that. A good, godly witness of a scriptural woman that walks by the words of God and respects the Lord and honors Him and honors the Word of God and honors her husband, reverences her husband. You talk about a witness and a light. Yeah. And you men, same thing. That you treat your wife the way the Bible says and love her like you love yourself. And these fellas running around here acting like a bunch of nuts and doing all this craziness that's in the world now. And they see you. You talk about being a light. Yeah, it'll draw them. It'll draw them. And God the Holy Ghost will use that. But everybody has their own measure. And that's between you and the Lord. And if you don't know what it is, ask the Lord. Or ask him to show it to you and give you one. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So the Bible tells us that it's okay and it's admirable for us to win souls. And it is. If you ever sit down and talk to somebody and you see that soul that's going to live forever, I'm talking about the person back behind their eyeballs. That body you're looking at is going back to the dirt. It's going to get covered up, and worms going to eat it until God gives them another one. But that person back behind them eyes that you're talking to, that's what the Word of God, and that's what your witness is bearing fruit to. It's from also. But it's talking to them. And when you see that person say that they would like to receive Christ as their Savior and by faith, just like you did, receive Him as Savior, you'll never, ever, ever regret that. Never, ever. You'll never regret it. That'll be something that'll be special to you for forevermore. That the Lord would give you the privilege to be able to bring somebody to glory. and be part of that. And be part of it. And we should want to be part of it because we're not ashamed of the Lord. We want to help the Lord get people to glory because if they don't go to glory and they're not saved, they're going to hell. Our God is a consuming fire. He said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that believeth not shall not see life." That's another scripture. "He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." It's not going to abide on him. It already abides on him. God counts him as an enemy. And he's going to destroy him. And put him in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Our God is a consuming fire. Jonathan Edwards said one time about hell. I was reading his sermon about sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he was given one description about that. You have to search it out and really rightly divide the Word of God, but there were implications, kind of a little bit of evidence in there that God himself, the fire that's in hell, is God himself burning them. I don't know, but it says our God is a consuming fire. But the thing about it is people in hell are not consumed. They burn just like they would in a fire, but they're not consumed. And that's forever. Charles Spurgeon said that people in hell, and they're looking around, one of the most miserable things there is probably that they look around and they see the signs on hanging all over the place that says forever, forever. 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 Now, on the other hand, people that are born again, the Bible also uses those words too. Everlasting. Everlasting. Forever. Eternal life. Not temporary. It ain't never going to come up of whether you have life ever, ever, ever again when you receive Jesus. Ever. It's done. It's been through God's courtroom. It's been through his mercy. It's been through his grace. It's been through Jesus' blood. It's come out the other end, and it's over with, and you are in. Isn't that beautiful? I'm glad the Lord didn't make us live by the law, because nobody can live by that law. The law is good, and the law is perfect, and the law is righteous. And that's what the tribulation, or not tribulation, but the millennium is going to be like. It's going to be under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ and his righteousness and his law. The law is good. If we could live by the law, we'd live some good lives, beautiful lives. And when we have the mind of Christ and we have bodies fashioned unto like his glorious body and we don't have this stinking sin nature anymore, this Adamic nature, we will live by the law. We'll be. Christ is the end of the law to all those that believe. Christ is our righteousness. So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Are witnessing soul winning the same thing? Yes and no. They complement each other, and your witness is just as important. It bears light, and it gives off light, spiritual light, and it draws people to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can, if the Holy Ghost draws them, and it's an honor for us that the Lord would include us to sit down with the Word of God and speak to somebody about God's word and what it says and the promises it makes to them about that if they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they can have eternal life right here, right now, by God's promise, written form, and it'll never go away. And put their faith in that. And no matter what happens the rest of their life or which way their life goes or anything like that, it never goes away. God is eternal, and so is the life that he gives. And Jesus' sacrifice is once and for all men, and it's finished. And when God says it's done, it's done. That's why it's so important to say something to somebody when you can. And the devil's going, now listen, as we're talking about all this, it's all good news. And it's unashamed. We're not ashamed of the Lord. But while we're talking about this, don't underestimate the enemy. Because as soon as he finds out that you're going to try to be a witness or that you're going to try to witness, and he knows you, and he watches you. Because he knows who's born again and who's not. And if he knows that you are apt to witness to somebody, he'll assign a couple devils to you. And they'll follow you around and wait for you to try to witness, and they'll try to mess it up. And you'll see that. Some of you are probably saying, I know, Brother Thurman, I know. He sure does. Yes, he does. And just expect attack. Don't be surprised about it. This is a battlefield. And it's for the souls of men. Now, next thing let's talk about, so witnessing and soul winning are the same thing, yet they're not. You use one to complement the other, and one of them is telling about yourself and what you know to be true, and the other one is offering it to somebody else. And there's no hut 2, 3, 4, turn left, go to the rooster on the fence, turn right, and there's no... It's called the plan of salvation, but it's God's word that does it. The more of God's word that you include in your witness, and the more of God's word you include in trying to win somebody's soul, the better it'll be. The better it'll be. Now, why should we be a witness? Why? What's the Bible say about it? Why should we be a winner and a soul winner? Well, we got 9 things I want to go over here and see what the Bible says and who the Bible's talking to when it says. Does the Bible say specifically you need to be a soul winner and a witness for Jesus Christ? Does it say that? Does it say you better be? Well, does it? Well, does the Bible say that God's going to be mad with you if you ain't a soul winner? Does it? Well, let's look at a few things and see. And we're going to try to keep this as simple as we can and why we should be. Well, let's just break it down just as fundamental as we can right before we go into these 9 things. Let's say that you was in the army, and you was in war and in combat, and you was in a foxhole. And when you was in that foxhole, you was in there, and you had bullets flying all over the place, and this, that, and that. And you can put this in any kind of scenario you want to put it in, but the point is that you're down there, and your buddies are down there with you, your comrades, the people, and life and death is going on there. You're watching people get hit by bullets and falling over dead. And you know it could happen to you any second. And you're sitting there trying not to get hit, and you're trying to defend your friends, and they're trying to defend you, and you're trying to fight the enemy. And then all of a sudden you hear, boom, 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 boom. And you look over, and a grenade rolls right between you and your buddy. And you sit there, and you have just a split second to make a decision about something. Either to run, or whatever you're going to do. And your buddy's standing there looking too. And you decide you're going to jump on that grenade. So you throw down your rifle and you make a jump. and you jump right on top of it, and your stomach goes right over top of that grenade, and that thing goes off and blows you all to pieces. Not you, but say your buddy does it. He jumps on a grenade. That's what we're talking. That's why I got that mixed up. Your buddy jumps on it. And he jumps on it. And he saves your life. Now, is that going to be something you ashamed? And then all of it's over with, and you're back home. And this fella saved your life. I mean, is that going to be? Are you going to try to get him a hero's reward when you get back? Sure you are. Are you going to be ashamed to tell your mom and daddy how you almost lost your life and that fella saved you? No, you're not going to be ashamed of nothing. Are you going to be able to tell it in detail? Are you going to be able to tell what you was thinking when it was going on? When he saved your life? Are you going to be able to tell a lot of things about him without being ashamed? And what kind of friend he was and what just all the details about it. They're going to be solidified. They're going to be concreted in your mind and in your heart, aren't they? Sure they are. Well, that's a witness. And do you think that if you ever started telling that story and somebody started to say something negative about the fella that jumped on there, that it's going to affect you in any way? You better believe it will. Because you have the love in your heart for what he did for you. You getting this? Now let's transfer it over to our Lord. Do you believe that Jesus died for you and he suffered for you? And all the things that the Bible says that he went through? Of course we do. Are you ashamed of it? No. Are you willing to witness about it? Yeah. Well, that's as simple as it gets right there. That's as simple as it gets. Why should you be a witness? Because Jesus said, when you've done all that you can do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. I mean, there's some things that you just think, this is something I'm supposed to do, that I ought to be doing, that I want to do, that I'm supposed to do. Do it because you want to, not because you have to. Jesus is not going to ever twist your arm and say, tell them about me now. He ain't going to do that. But he will stand up and clap for you, like he done Stephen. That's the last thing Stephen done when they was stoning him, was prayed for him and magnified the Lord and gave him glory. And there's a couple other reasons why Jesus stood up there, but I believe one of them was to give honor and respect to Stephen's witness. Excuse me. So why should we be a witness? Now, here's nine reasons why you should endeavor to tell others of Christ and what you know to be true and to seek to win them for the Lord. Seek to win them to him. First thing is because it's a command. Now, we know it's a command. Now, when we read this scripture here, it's not talking exactly to us. It's talking to the church, but it's talking to the church in its infancy. When these people that the Lord's talking to have absolutely no idea about our kind of salvation yet. And I'm not going to get into all that because that gets a little bit more needing to be explained. But as far as witnessing, it is a command because the ones that the Lord in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is what I'm talking about. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It starts out there where at Pentecost, where the Holy Ghost came, and that was the very beginning of the church right there, where the first fellas got the indwelling power of God, the Holy Ghost, and all that was in there. And everybody after that, that believed on Jesus Christ, they received the Holy Ghost and were born into the family of God afterwards like that. Okay, so the Bible says to them, And it's talking, I'm not going to get into all the other stuff. He was talking to the Jews, and he was talking to, this is when the church was just switching over from the Lord's crucifixion and his death and his burial and his resurrection was over with, and now we could go on into the church age. Okay? So, but before that was the law. The law was ending and the church was starting. And when these fellows right here, this is the very first thing that they found out about the church. Jesus told them, said, go up there and wait until the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And this is the first thing that happened that began the church here. But it was a transition. The book of Acts is a transitional book. It takes us from the law into grace as far as salvation goes. And there's several steps of the transformation that goes on in there as far as salvation goes. But we'll learn all that another day. But as far as why we should be a witness is because that's what Jesus said was going to happen when the Holy Ghost came upon them. And that was the beginning of the church. So it counts us in because they witnessed, they went outside after the Holy Ghost came upon them. They went out and they was a witness there at Pentecost. And at that, there were lots and lots of people there from all different languages and areas and everything. And they started witnessing to everybody. And then people got saved. And then they went and witnessed. And then they went and witnessed. And then they, and guess what? Somebody got to you. And somebody got to me. And we got saved the same exact way. And God the Holy Ghost come in and dwelling in you right now, just like the promise. No difference, no changes, everything's the same. It's the age of grace. It's the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the power of God, the Holy Ghost, dwelling in you. And he uses the Word of God that you learn, just like you're doing right this very second, learning God's Word, uses the Word of God that you learn to help you to witness. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. That's where they were when the Lord told them that, when the Holy Ghost come upon them. They were in Jerusalem, and then they went out to Judea, which was around Jerusalem, and then they went out to Samaria, which was around Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, even to where you're sitting right now. And that's how it went, just like the Lord said. So why should you be a witness and a soul winner? Because it's a command. I mean, the Lord didn't say, after you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye better be witnesses unto me. That ain't what he said. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's not a command, is it? It sure is, by grace. It's like, how can a sailor see somebody out there drowning and not want to do something about it? How can you be in the body of Christ and me be in the body of Christ and know the things that we know, whether it be a lot or whether it be a little, but know the things that we know, especially the beginning of it when we were born again, and the change that stuck? How can we know that and not witness? It's a command of grace. The Lord could make us witness if he wanted to. Don't you know that? Hut 2, 3, 4, get busy, get out that door. He could do that if he wanted to, but that's not what he does. It's by grace. It's a command by grace. It is. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. It's like you're going to want to, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God the Holy Ghost is indwelling you now. God himself is in you. The Spirit of Jesus is in you. And He only does spiritual things. He's not part of your flesh at all. Your flesh is a whole different thing now. It's been cut away. It's been cut away. And the only thing you're waiting on is to leave it here or either get raptured, one or the other. Now, second thing, that's not all. It's a command. It's also a duty. A duty. When you got saved, things changed in your life. Your mission changed. Your purpose for being alive changed. Your reason changed. Everything in your life is changed, and it should be changed, and it's even changing more and more. And the older you get, the more it's going to change, because we're on a journey now. We're on our way to glory. We're waiting on our Lord to come and get us. This is not our home. It's a duty. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now we have a whole new reason in our lives. Remember when we started talking about this at the beginning of this recording? We was talking about people looking for ways to stay alive. That's what everybody is trying to do now, is stay alive. And they're looking for all kind of different avenues to do that. And that's the wide way that leads to destruction. The Bible says, narrow is the way, is the path that leadeth to life. And you've already been through that. You're on the narrow path, and there's no way that you can get off of it now. You're born again, and you're headed to be with the Lord. So it's our duty now. We have a whole different purpose, a whole different reason, and you're not looking for a way to stay alive anymore. You're going to stay alive. You might pass through the shadow of death if the Lord doesn't rapture us first. But that doesn't mean that your soul's going to die. The only thing that's going to go back, that's going to die, is your body. You're not going to die. If you ever watch a Christian die, you'll know what I'm saying, and you'll know I'm speaking the truth. It's completely different. It's a duty. Matthew 4:19, "And he saith unto them, Follow me." One time, the Lord was sitting around with the disciples, and he got up and walked off, and he looked at Peter, and he said, "Follow me." And Peter got up and started following him. He said, "Lord," he said, "what about that man?" Pointing at John. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." That's John 21:22. Now that's a tremendous, tremendous statement and a big truth in our life. If God's will is for somebody to sit on their hind end over there and bear fruit doing something else, that ain't none of your business between God and him. Follow me. If God wills that such and such and such and such and such and such tarry till he comes again, what is that to you? Follow him. It's your duty. You got whole new reasons and purposes now. And it's the Lord's reasons and purposes. Get in that book and stay in that book, and God the Holy Ghost will start showing you these things, and he already is, because that's what you're doing right now, showing you these things. And then believe what you find out, because it's our God's word. It's not what the world says, it's what God says. He's the victor. He's the one that's coming out. The Lord said, all the countries in the world are like a drop in a bucket to him. They're as nothing to him. You think the UN is so powerful and all that kind of gobbledygook garbage you talked about over there? The Lord says, all the nations put together are nothing to him. Nothing. What matters is what you've been born into the family of God about. Our business is to be about doing what the Lord's done for us. Somehow, some way, we got to live, we got to work, we got blah, 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 blah. We ain't got to do nothing but just wait on the Lord and do His will. That's what we got to do. It's our duty. Let me try one more. It's a command. We're talking about why should we be a witness and a soul winner. Well, first of all, it's a command, and a graceful command, of course. And secondly, it's a duty. And we know it's a duty. We know that. And third, it's a debt. A debt. I remember when my daughter was living at home, and she was going to school, a little teenager, about the age, I think 13, 14, when little girls are airheaded and ain't got nothing but air in her head. But this is pretty and easy going as they can be and don't care much about anything except just loving life, She had a little sticker on her wall, and it had the letter I, and then beside that, it had a letter O, and then a letter U, all uppercase letters. And it said, I owe you, Lord. And she had that up on her wall. I ain't never forgot that. And for a 13, 14-year-old to have some kind of thoughts about that they would put it, make it part of their wall, little girls, make it part of their wall, and it'd be in their heart. Seem like people that have a little bit of walk with the Lord and have been born again and know a little bit about the Lord and His how loving kindness He is, the loving kindness and the beauty of the Lord and the things that He has done for us that we absolutely did not deserve, but He did them anyway just out of His kindness to show us a little bit about who He is and what He is. And those precious times of joy that we've had with Him, seems like it would be a debt, wouldn't it? Just like that fella that jumped on that grenade for us. Except he didn't jump on a grenade. He went through some torture. The Lord Jesus Christ. But the fellow that jumped on a grenade, don't you think that fella felt indebted to Him? Wouldn't you feel indebted to Him even though he's dead and you can't do nothing for him? But our God is not dead. But even a dead man, you would feel indebted to Him somehow. Maybe bring flowers to his grave or something like that, or pay respect to his children or whatever. But a debt. Now, this world ain't like that. The world don't think like that. The world's done gone nuts. It don't feel indebted to nothing. It's gimme, 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 you owe me, I'm this and I'm that, and you ought to feel sorry for me, and I deserve everything. That's the way the world's coconuts are now. But that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible's not changed, and God's Word's not changed. It's a debt. Let's listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 14, what Paul's, the Apostle Paul, that's the Apostle that brought the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God, our salvation, to light. That's who the Lord used to bring this salvation and bring it on in. And it's been here for, 2,000 years or so now? And that's how I got saved, and that's how you got. Listen to what he said. He said, Romans chapter 1, verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul said, hey, what's happened to me, how marvelous it is. And when I sit down and really, really think about what's going on and what kind of situation and position and state that I'm in and my status as far as being with the Lord and in the Lord and in God's family and being a son of God and being born again and all the legalities in God's courtroom, if you knew everything that happened in God's courtroom when you got saved, you need to listen to that when we talk about that. And I think it's under the salvation, under assurance of salvation, but it's all the things, the legalities that, like imputation, justification, all that kind of stuff, the legalities, the legal things that went on in God's courtroom to free you. And it was all because of the payment of Jesus' blood. All that kind of stuff. Propitiation, imputation, you know, all them things. We can talk about them later. I get all confused and messy up now. But it's a duty. It's a debt. Paul said, I am debtor. And find my place. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. It's a debt. He said, I'm a debtor. Can you say that? Sure you can. And you should. I owe you, Lord. And we can't never pay the Lord back for what he's done. And the Lord doesn't want us to pay him back. The Lord just wants us to love him because we choose to love him. And we mean it and we're sincere about it. You know, the Lord has feelings too. He wants to be loved because you choose to love him, not because you have to love him. Don't you think God could make somebody love him if he wanted to? It's not the way the Lord is. The Lord wants to be loved because somebody in their heart is in love with him and wants to love him. And you should know what I'm talking about if you have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and you know the Lord. You should be able to say, I love the Lord with Christ love, and know what you're talking about. Christ love is nothing like the world's love. You know that? It's not even in the same book. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, anybody and everybody. The gift of salvation is free. It's a moral debt for us to tell others. It's a moral debt for us to tell others. Amen. All right, so why should we be a witness and a soul winner? Because it's a command, and it's a duty, and it's a debt. And we got four more we're going to look at on the next one. We're going to stop right there, okay? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Had a good study today, hadn't we? Witnessing. There's nothing shameful about being a witness. You're not ashamed of the Lord, and you're not ashamed of what he did for you. All we got to do is wait on the Lord and do his bidding, whatever he wants. Just whatever you want, Lord. Yeah, sure. And don't get tied up in with all this world's gobbledygook. Get out from under the world. Get that yoke off of you. The Lord's taken that yoke of the world off of you. He's made you free, and he's put Jesus' yoke on you. And his burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and my yoke is... I can't remember the other part. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And it is. It is a yoke. But it's not a yoke like a taskmaster standing back there with a whip. It's a loving Lord that has done everything for us and continues to. So let me give you these scriptures for this today's lesson. You ready? All right, we started out with John chapter 15, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, and Romans chapter 1, verse 14. And we'll begin on the fourth reason or why we should be a witness and a soul winner, okay? So, praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, and brother and sister, I thank you so much. What an honor it is to study with you and with these ABCs of Christian growth, but It's tremendous to be able to know God's Word and to study it, isn't it? Especially with brothers and sisters. So you be sure to join in on the next one if you can. And we'll look forward to being with you. Okay? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.